What's up, everybody? I'm Tara Simon, and this is Truth with Tara. And today I have the distinct honor and complete privilege to welcome Peter Hollins to the show. Peter, I'm such a fan of yours, and I'm so glad to say and honored to say I'm a friend of yours. Thank you so much for joining.
I am excited to be here with you. We talk so much like randomly all the time that might as well put it on a podcast, right?
That's exactly why I asked you. And the things that we talk about are so nerdy. I was like, really, though, people that are interested in music and singing and the industry in general, they want to hear what we have to say, especially you in particular. Less me, more you. So that's what it's going to be today, actually, is you just spewing your knowledge. Because you actually, we're going to be talking about AI in the music industry.
Let's go.
And you're the second person who told me about AI in the same day, like on the day that it came out. Or the day after, my brother was the first,
and you were the first.
He lost my brother, but you were the first in the music industry to tell me about it. And you started flipping out about, oh my gosh, this is going to change so many things. And I've already like written a song. And I'm like, you what? And I went on it and I started freaking out. And so tell me about like your first experience with ChatGPT, what you thought about it then, and kind of where it's led you now and what you think about it now.
That is a lot. I think the first instance of utilizing artificial intelligence, at least for many people, was the original OpenAI's ChatGPT. Back then it was like 3.0. And so it didn't have, I would say, the breadth of knowledge that it does now as a large language model, which is what that is. But my first time using it, I did initially start using it almost as if it was Google, but since I've put in so many hours of prompting and truly becoming, like a prompt engineer, which is basically like the new title that they give you if you're able to basically manufacture an answer that you're looking for down to an extraordinarily, small amount of specificity and nuance. That's usually like the job title. Like you can actually get a job as a prompt engineer now and get paid like $250,000. And this is something that's super new. So back then it was me just playing around with it and learning how to try to break it. I mean, it's kind of one of my favorite things to do is get my hands on new technology and then try to break it. But I did find the more I tried to like provide, more granular questions, more like nuance and specificity, as though I was speaking to a human, the better the answers became. And so I started getting hooked on it. And so right away I started, I was in an interesting place in my career. I was coming up with company ideas. And so I was asking it to become, you know, an expert in this type of business and provide me with a business plan based off of like these specific measurable aspects of like what I was trying to create, whether it was like a brand integration company or a agency to provide jobs for creators. And it allowed me to like envision something that I had in my mind that I wanted to make and then manifest it in written form, which has always been my weakest part of me creating something. And so I was able to iterate on so many different ideas so quickly, and kind of go through my like little midlife crisis of changing from a musician and creator to a businessman right now much, much quicker, which I'm so thankful that this technology came out when it did.
I kind of want to go back to one of the things you said about how you're transitioning from kind of singer to businessman. And frankly, that's a lie. You've always been a businessman. You're very, very talented. For those of you who don't know, Peter was one of the OGs in a cappella singing on YouTube. Timing and extraordinary talent innovation landed him where he is today. And so, yes, he's always been a great businessman, but he's super humble to a fault. So I'm not going to let you get away with that. But you did say something about how you're making this at least mental transition from being more of an official business person, less of a singer, and how ChatGPT allowed you, in layman's terms, to kind of fill in that blank page, that first blank page of creating something new.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's a big issue for a lot of songwriters, a lot of storytellers, a lot of business people in general. I mean, when you're writing a prospectus or a song or a proposal, it's that blank page that you stare at. And I think for me, and from what I think I'm hearing from you, ChatGPT like completely eliminates the fear of that blank page.
The beginning training wheels that I try to give people when I'm trying to convince them to not to be scared of it and to embrace the inevitable so that they can reach their highest potential by utilizing this in a way to keep their job, to get better at their job, to get better at their hobbies, their passions, is to go into every single, because currently we have to prompt. We have to like tell it what we want. We say, I need you to act like X. And X should be like the supreme best job title for whatever it is that you're asking. Specifically, if you're wanting to write a song, you could tell it to be a songwriter. You could tell it to be a 3-decade expert songwriter that has written over 1,000 songs, lives in Nashville. You can provide an incredible amount of granularity. Basically, if you're looking at, in a visual sense, if you're looking at the total of human intelligence, you need to basically give it a window to look through. And then if you do give it a window, then your answer will be much closer to what you're looking for. If you just go about it haphazardly and say, how do I do X? It answers you in a very general way. If you give it specificity, it will give it back to you. So you say, act like X, I will give you Y. Y, you should be like the specifics and nuance of what you're wanting to get. So for instance, if you're trying to get feedback on a song you're writing, you should just literally copy and paste that song. Perhaps you should copy and paste the last 20 songs you wrote so it understands your writing style. So you act as advanced songwriter Y. Perhaps you could say act like Ed Sheeran or Taylor Swift, or perhaps somebody that's both, right? Like you're both Ed Sheeran and Taylor Swift. And then you say, here's the song. I want you to critique it. I want you to provide feedback in this way. And then it will. And then you can tell it to critique its own answer. I mean, there's like this kind of like a workflow that you go through so that you tell it how to be, who to be. You give it the thing, like as much information as you can. Then you tell it what you want. And then you basically iterate and iterate and iterate and iterate from there. Yes, keep this. No, don't take away that. Copy, 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 paste it again, tell it to look at it again, tell it to critique and critique and critique. And so that's like my, like, I have so much fun doing that. I geek over it. It's amazing.
So can you give me an example of how you've leveraged it in like a real case study type of way?
I'm working on helping a Forbes article on AI become a thing. And as I was doing due diligence and looking through questions that she had, I like came up with like this, an idea to basically create like an AI company for specifically for the music industry. I just feel like we always look at things the wrong way. We like to immediately push tech away and then specifically sue people. And I'm saying that not me, but like the majors, it's like their thing that they do. They're like, no, go away. We're protecting our black box of billions of dollars. You can't have it. Versus like accepting tech and change as inevitable and embracing it and monetizing it as what it is, which is like free distribution. So I'm taking all of my knowledge and learnings and education that I have in AI and going to labels and basically teaching them how to use it, how to create their own AI employees that go directly into their actual tech stack so that you can literally talk to them on Slack and give them talk to them just like they're a human, but they work 24/7 and they don't complain to HR. I even have like a proprietary like tech that we're using to create those things. So like you could talk to Taylor, and Taylor's graduated from this college and had this past history of experience, and she lives in New York, and she can answer everything for you. And she's also connected to the internet. And I mean, dude, the future is amazing.
So do you think that this is going to eliminate a lot of jobs?
Whether or not we like it or not, anyone who interfaces with a computer in any capacity in their job, if they're in a junior level position, it sucks to say this out loud, but they're going to either lose their job, they're either going to lose their title, or this is the three things, or they're going to literally change their entire job because it's all going to be about utilizing AI and editing it and critiquing it and becoming like mini little prompt engineers. Because if they don't, what's going to happen is this macroeconomic situation we're in right now is going to get everyone fired because they're going to try to save money on the payroll side. And so
I can see it.
I feel so sorry for these poor kids that are going to college and becoming anything that has anything to do with tech, because they're going to get hundreds of thousands of dollars in the hole, and then they're not going to be able to find a job because they don't have experience. And so if they're not at the intersection of AI and the thing that they're doing, they're screwed.
Yeah.
They're
screwed. They're
and
toast.
I feel so sad for them. But like, I mean, I've never allowed my kids to have access to the internet, and I need to teach my 9-year-old how to type better, because like he always just holds down a button and talks instead because he knows he can get away with it. But like, literally, I'm at the precipice of putting in a computer in the house and or my son's room. That's like, here's ChatGPT. Ask it whatever you want.
Wow. Right. Go with God.
It is not God.
Wow.
But the advanced large language model that they are building is, I would say, the most conservative and protected. And so I would feel like quasi like he's surfing on YouTube Kids, which is still not safe. But like if
giving
your children like the right morality, what they should and shouldn't be looking up or asking, then it's okay-ish.
Yes.
But like at some point, like, they're going to always find themselves into a situation where they have to know what is right or wrong, and they're going to push the boundaries regardless. So
Peter, I mean, I know that you could, and we do go on and on about this, but I also want to touch a little bit on about how you have this really big passion for bridging this beautiful gap that you see in the YouTube creator economy between the creative and the business. And you've been on both sides, and you have this really cool business model that you've also used ChatGPT to help you create. Tell me a little bit of that and what you've been doing lately.
Yeah, I think that within the creator economy, the passion economy, I think there's a lot of different ways to describe what we do. The people who get to make a living doing what they love, being creative. In general, there's never really been a path off of the hamster wheel. And so creators have an arc, right? Of people like us who have been lucky enough to monetize our gifts and our passion and our craft. At some point, we reach our plateau, similarly to an NBA, NFL player. And then there is the inevitable mental and lifelong anguish of focusing too much on numbers and analytics and metrics and who am I, what am I if I don't have this and this following and this dopamine hit. And I think as somebody who has been lucky enough to do this for 12 full-time years and still could make a terrific living continuing singing, my own specific arc is one that I think some of the duration got taken away from me because of a surgery that botched my voice that like force me to look more entrepreneurial. But I've found myself near the end of my arc and being somewhat, I wouldn't say like, I mean, I'm mystified, I'm pissed off. I'm like, why isn't there a direct correlation to all the work and energy and knowledge and creativity and value that I have as a creator, both in terms of what I've built and established as a businessman and the relationships that I've fostered and all the advising roles and consulting that I've done within the creator economy, why isn't there an off-ramp? And so not only is it something that is personally so vital for me to figure out myself, who am I without my voice being out there, without me releasing this next thing, this next music video every week, without getting millions and millions of views and comments? And like, what am I after this? And I believe that creators in general are going to be the developers of the next decade. And I think this actually goes back to our first conversation on AI. I think AI is going to basically make our current definition of intelligence be completely replaced if knowledge, yeah, and not if, but when knowledge and intelligence is no longer based on what you know and how quickly you can manifest it right out of your, and it's more based mm-hmm. on how innovative, how collaborative, how outside the box you can think, how much empathy do you have for your fellow human, and how well are you able to take something that everyone else has blinders on because they've been programmed, because we are programmed from a young age
100%.
to sit in our box, to look forward, to answer questions only when you're asked. But what creators yep. are
standardized testing.
Yeah. And but what mm-hmm. what creators are, and what creatives who have succeeded, who have proven themselves, who have a digital resume online, what we truly are creatorpreneurs. We look outside like the box. We purposely always ask questions. We do not take no yeah. for an answer. Those are the people that the future are going to be able to provide the absolute most value to organizations and businesses. And I truly believe in evangelizing that vision that I see, because I know what's going to happen. I know creators are going to be the number one best employee from a return on investment for on the payroll side, even on the marketing side. I think a creator internally at a company can be on C-suite, can be the chief content officer, can be the chief storytelling officer. I have like an entire Rolodex of different names that I think correlate to different KPIs that they can lead at that company, and it has nothing to do with
the
way that
currently— For those who don't know what a KPI is.
Key performance indicator based upon like what your manager or your like your CEO or the CMO, the chief marketing officer, the chief executive officer. I like using abbreviations. I need to stop doing that.
Well, I think what you said is actually right on the money, because we're taught to always look for the answer, right? That's traditional education. But creatives are too busy asking questions. And that's exactly the way you leverage AI properly, if what I'm hearing from you is correct, is the strategic way to ask the question to get the better answer than you could have come up with yourself.
100%. Yeah, I didn't go deeper on that thought.
But true or false, music producers in 5 years or less are going to lose their jobs because of AI?
I would go back to my original statement and stand behind it, that if you are a junior level position in any facet across all of human workforce, and you interface with a computer, and part of your job is to create with a digital, you know, like, here's my iPhone. Nice to meet you, iPhone. Here's the computer I'm doing this on. If you're a junior, both in experience and in what you're providing back to your company or the person that pays you, you're out of luck. And you know that, Tara, I'm going to go back to something that I even said the first time I ever had to speak in public. It was the commencement speech for my my university. They for some reason asked me, and I am not a good speaker, but spending all my time on figuring out what I wanted to tell these 13,000 students, freak me out.
Wow.
I really focused down, and I was like, you will not just have a half dozen jobs in your lifetime. You will have many, many professions. And the craziest thing is I had somebody send it to me just recently and was like, oh, I loved this. And I hadn't watched it. Like, I hadn't even thought about it in many years, because this was like now, 7.5 years ago. And I listened and I was like, holy crap. I didn't even have a clue how right I was.
Yeah, like
we
prophetic.
Are going to be forced to constantly innovate if we are going to stay in the workforce. And I do believe we're going to get to a level of productivity as a whole, as a human whole, that we will eventually get to the point where there's going to be a thing called universal basic income, because otherwise humans are going to become somewhat— I don't want to get like too— there's so many different angles and ways that we could go as humans, but like, we're going to be so productive that there's going to be an incredible surplus. And I obviously don't foresee what billions of people are going to be doing if they truly don't have a position for them.
Correct. That's my fear too, is like, okay, so what, you know, you keep mentioning the junior level. I also would challenge that and say, if you can save money in the quality, I mean, speaking of music anyway, let's just go back to the producer idea. Mm-hmm. You know, if the quality of music, they're already doing it, by the way, they're already, AI is already making, like, I think the latest one was a Bad Bunny and a Rihanna mix, and the labels are fighting like the next day to take it down.
Yeah.
Right.
That, so like, to my point, they don't know how to handle it the right way.
Exactly. Yep. Like they're like taking their toys and going to court and telling on mommy and daddy. But like, if you have these high level, even productions, forget the junior, like I'm thinking even, you know, like the upper level, higher end producers, if you can streamline costs and use an AI to do what you'd be paying Timbaland or someone else, you know, 100,000 plus a track to do. So why on earth would you
totally
do that anymore?
So I'll push back there. I believe like the threshold of the definition of the junior will get harder and harder to back. But I think the people who have been able to establish a breadth of Rolodex and experience behind them will be the people that will always be able to stay on top. As long as they're willing and able to utilize and innovate with AI, the people, I think like a supplemental statement is the junior level employees will be replaced by AI, but specifically, and you're going to be replaced by people who are using AI. If you choose not to, whether it's because of the clickbait titles of like copywriting this or copywriting that, like I get that. And I know humans have worked so hard to make so much and create so much. I am a creative. Yes. Right. However, this is happening. We can't stop it. It's just the way humans work.
Yeah.
We adopt. We have to adopt. That's one of the reasons why I think we are so amazing on this planet, is that we have the adaptability factor and we have to adopt so quickly now. We have never had anything come this fast and this fierce. And if people choose not to, those will be the people who will lose.
They're going to be left behind.
Employ themselves.
I think before, when the dawn of social media and stuff, like people were and still are kind of able to bury their heads in the sand if they wanted with that, because that kind of created new jobs, but it didn't really take away many old ones.
Mm.
But for this, for AI, I feel like the only thing to fear is fear itself. And I get it if you're afraid. I'm in awe and a little bit of fear of it myself, because I am afraid of all the jobs lost. But I also am in awe of it and I respect it. And I know that we are at the precipice of the dawn of a new era, just like when the internet came to be. Like, it's that big of a deal. And so, in my opinion,
I think you could even say this is as powerful or more, both for good and for bad. Like when we created the atomic bomb, because at the time, if we wanted to have created it, who knows how long that war could have gone, what perhaps Hitler and the Axis would have done to humanity.
Right.
But at the same time, it also is something that could wipe us all out at any moment.
Yeah. And you can't uncreate it. And this is something that you can't undo.
100%.
You can't undo this either.
You can't undo it.
What I was saying was that, like, if you go and take social media and you bury your head in the sand, you'll be all right. You'll be inept socially, but you'll still have a job, you know, doing what you already did before social media existed. But if you ignore this, you will be inept. You will be outdated. And your job will most likely be gone at some point in the next decade. I believe there's still certain niches where there will be protection, but it will be few and far between, I believe. And so that's why we're having this discussion, because I think a lot of creatives, a lot of musicians, a lot of singers and songwriters, they have no idea about it. It's not even on their radar. Mm. And B, they have no idea the implications of it in regards to their career. I was literally in a voice lesson with an up and coming country artist. And you and I both know money's in songs, right? And now live concerts, right? Thank you, streaming. But like, he's like, oh, I'm not a songwriter. I'm like, you better start using ChatGPT for some inspo. You know, get used to, he's like, what's that? And I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay.
Oh my gosh. If I could have 5 minutes with that person, I would teach them how to co-write with ChatGPT. I would.
I was like,
Tara, I just took a flight from Portland to Orlando and I wrote 13 songs. And you were like, what? And I was like, I did. And I think at least three of them were really good.
I'm like, no, ChatGPT did. Well, I'm like, no, ChatGPT did, Peter.
Okay, but here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. I mean, similarly to my my actual skill set as a songwriter and my, like, my favorite songwriter that I have co-written with, I would say, you know, does 87, 91% of the work. And I'm then there going, well, what if you, no, though, I like that one. Oh, no, I like that one. Uh-huh. But I want to talk about this. Oh, but what about, like, yeah. I have this envision of X. And then basically, and then she does the rest because she's brilliant. And I'm just this, whatever. But similarly,
like,
ChatGPT works in a similar fashion, right? You walk it down this way. You say, I want to write a song like this. And depending upon the way that you get about, like, there's so many different ways. What window are we looking through? How are we going to reverse engineer where we want to go, right? So you can say, here's a page of text I just wrote out and vomited on. I want to turn that into a song. But I want it to be written about this and this, and I want the listener to take away this emotional feeling. Oh, and by the way, also think about these three songs while you're writing it. And then it's like, and then it gives you one thing. And then I'm like, ooh, I really like that hook. Can you try this again? Okay, I like that, but I don't like that. That doesn't make sense. Stop rhyming so much. You're getting annoying. Oh, do this.
Being corny, yeah.
I want an outro. Oh, think about maybe this, having this in a duet. I mean, like, you literally, you talk to it like a human. And that's how you literally like co-write with AI. And I feel like.
Okay, but here's the thing. Here's a question. Yes. Here's a moral, like, you know, morality question.
Throw it.
Okay.
I love it.
You know, we talk about, like, school system being broken and like essays are gone, like college essays, please, like ChatGPT even does footnotes and like sourcing and whatever, so you don't even have to do that anymore as a student. But let's talk about songwriting, since we're in the music industry here. You do that on the plane, right? And let's say that your flight was to go to a publishing company that was expecting songs from and you're being paid a retainer and your name's going to be on these songs. You're going to own the song, 50% of it anyway. Publishing company owns the other 50, yeah. Who wrote it? You or ChatGPT?
Well, we don't have that regulatory yet, right? And I think until we do, there are no rules.
And who, but if it's regulated, who then gets ChatGPT's side? The creators of ChatGPT?
I think I'm looking forward to that being figured out by people who are smarter and that fight over it than I do. I wasn't the one
because right now it's the Wild West.
I wasn't the one to build OpenAI, so the large language model is coming up with ideas based upon, I would say, the breadth of human knowledge that's ever been placed online, as far as I know, willing to learn and adjust my thinking all the time. What I'm saying right now is dependent upon what I think. I do think that until there is regulatory based on us working and breathing and creating with, then I think the person who is prompting and working with it owns it, in my opinion. And until I'm told differently.
Well, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with you, but on a creative integrity standpoint, it feels, I've done it. Look, like, I've done it. I had to write 30 little, I literally did this just recently. I had to write 30 little affirmation songs, like hooks, one for each day of the month. And I'm like, I started doing three of them myself, and it was like 20 minutes. And I'm like, you know what? Hey, ChatGPT, can you da 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 da? And, you know, literally, like, sure, let me work on that. 5 seconds later, all of them done, submitted, thank you. And then I thought to myself, wow, I just saved myself probably 2.5 hours, but I feel like I cheated myself, like my own creativity, and I almost feel like I'm cheating them.
Who's them?
And there's this ick factor to it almost, too.
Interesting.
Like, well, the people I was collabing with.
I'm going to go back to the analogy of the calculator, man. I think perhaps when we first started using it, I wasn't alive back then. Oh, maybe I was. Let's not talk about how old I am. But I think the people that were utilizing it probably felt the same way. Like, oh my gosh, I should be doing this myself. I should be showing my work. I should be.
Yes, you're right.
I think anything that we start using that saves us that much time and that much energy and feels this new, we will always have a feeling And that feeling, depending upon the person, that experience will be something, but it'll be a very strong feeling. I get excited.
Yeah, it is.
I am so thrilled that I get to work with something that only heightens my ability of productivity to actually manifest these ideas that I constantly have in my head. I would say to you, Tara, there's only one of you, and you so desperately want to be able to have more time with your son or with your partner or with your parents.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get over that feeling and go live your life.
Get
Why are you
already
on this world? Are you in this world because you should spend 3 hours writing these ditties, or are you in this world to be able to provide for your family and live your life to the fullest in the things that mean the most to you? I mean, I would go there. I would immediately be like, time is the most amazing thing. And I think what AI is going to allow us to do is the second we think of it, we'll be able to manifest it. Whether this is in an augmented world or a virtual world or in a world where we've created the digital version of ourself. And the second we think it, I think we're going to get to the point where if anything a human can actually imagine will be able to be created. I think that's where we're heading. And it's very interesting and it's very
that's
scary.
That's very exciting.
And it's very
and
science,
scary.
Science-y.
Yeah.
But we have,
we have
now
sci-fi movie.
Created and released something that is going to be infinitely more intelligent and productive than we are.
Mm.
And our new form of intelligence is no longer based on what we know, how fast we can create it, and how quickly we can say it. It's going to be because we're the creatives. That's who we are now. Like, Apple is coming out with a product this summer that I think is going to blow people's minds in terms of like how much different and how much more sophisticated people are going to be able to go into this virtual reality. And I feel like in a few years when they release their augmented version of said product, we're going to have our minds blown. I also think it's very fascinating that Apple has been so quiet because they haven't talked about AI. They haven't.
You're right.
They've utilized
it
in different aspects of their product, but they're so quiet. Why do you think they're so quiet? Is it because, I don't know, maybe they're just waiting to just drop their own proverbial nuclear bomb on the entire world? Not as far as AI. And I'm really excited that because Apple only makes great stuff.
So
I don't know. We
I
could all
them.
Be so scared and so Mac. Afraid about what's happening. And I am to a certain degree on a sliding scale. Scared about where we're heading, but I only have control over what I have control over, and I'm really, really excited about being able to open the people's eyes in my life that I care about to be able to have their things that they imagine actually come into and be created. And that's so great and so exciting. And there's all these things that do need to be regulated, that do need to be talked about, that people do need to be given some form of
parameters.
Yeah, sure. And but like, that's not my job. And I feel for the people that whose job that is. But I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a regulator. I'm not a politician. I'm just somebody who loves coming up with ideas, loves creating things, likes helping people. And to me, I'm like, well, this is all those things. So I'm going to trust that whatever else happens and the people who really have the control, I'm just a fanboy over here, like trying to like.
You are. You're such an AI fanboy.
Try to be a futurist and pretend like
your company
like
should be that. Like, AI Fanboy LLC needs to be yet another creation of yours, Peter. So if you could tell anybody watching or listening to this, anybody that's a singer or songwriter, you know, they're obviously either a fan of yours or mine, so that they love music, right? Is there anything AI related that you would tell a singer or a songwriter, hey, you're going to be best served by doing this a lot?
Yeah, I mean, I would circle back. You're talking to a very amateur level songwriter. Anything that I've ever created that was original and it sounded cool to a songwriter was mostly because of my co-writer Anna Gilbert. But I would really highly encourage you to try co-writing with AI. I mean, literally start the prompt. You are an experienced songwriter from Nashville with decades of experience, and you and I are co-writing. I want to write a song about X, and then move forward and ask an incredible amount of questions. How can we go about this songwriting session in the best way so that we can write the best song? And then it'll say we should do XYZ, and then do XYZ, and then you can reverse engineer every
aspect of
this. If I wanted to write an amazing song with you, what are the things that you need to know? Let me know, and then it'll tell you, and then you tell it, and then you work on it together. I you have to try. Yeah. You have to just start. It'll feel weird maybe because you're like, I'm talking to like a weird DOS prompt. Sorry, DOS. This is like for the 35 and up people in the world, in the room.
Enough, yeah.
But AI, I mean, seriously, the other thing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Outside of the songwriting, if you see something that even remotely is interesting to you in terms of something that you see online in terms of a tool, like, play with it. Because you never know.
Curiosity.
The acceleration of innovation right now within the AI vertical is asinine. I've never seen anything like it. I can barely keep up with it, and I am so fascinated and so interested in it.
Yes.
And even a portion of one of the agencies I'm working on is about it, and I can't keep up. And I'm like, I'm grabbing as fast as I can.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. It's just
absolutely.
Like,
we're drowning overload in new ideas and new information as far as AI. And I think that's part of the problem. It's also only going to get...
part of the solution.
It's only going to get louder and faster too. So I don't know. It's going to be going to be really interesting. It's about to get crazy.
Peter, you know I love you, and it was such an honor to have you on today. I consider you a good friend of mine, and I'm grateful for all of your wisdom and knowledge. I mean, I know that you could talk about this for another 2 hours. I'm a little overwhelmed right now, so we're going to cut it off right here.
Let's go.
But listen, guys, if you are not following Peter on YouTube or his channels, Instagram, everywhere, you should be. He is a wealth of knowledge and of talent, and he's just an all-around amazing guy. So go check him out and be on the lookout for, what's the name of the company, Peter?
In-house Creators. Or if you're just looking for some AI stuff, then Powerhouse AI. One or the other.
Then Powerhouse AI.
All right.
Yeah, I love that name, Powerhouse. So In-house Creators or Powerhouse AI, that's also Peter Hollins. Peter, thanks so much again for joining me today. And guys, as usual and as always, we'll see you on the next one. Bye.